Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello. We are having some technical difficulties. Hey, that's us for the team. There we go. Well, hello and welcome to or welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, it is my pleasure to spend some time with you sharing those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that are the sparks to create that life you desire and deserve. It is spring here in the Midwest United States. Things are green. Flowers are blooming, talk about gardens, which has been our talk for the last couple weeks. We've been using the analogy of new growth and planting seeds and how we can use that analogy when it comes to planting seeds in our communication, in our relationships. So my question is, what action did you take? If you have been listening for the past week, Sparks of Action for Successful Growth was our topic last week, and we covered a number of strategies and resources. Did you check any out? Did you work on changing your language this week? Did you check out a book by Wayne Dyer, by Jack Canfield? What did you do between last week and this week to be in a different place, a better place, than you were before? Tonight, we're going to talk about sparks to have your best brain at work. I have the privilege of speaking to our Professional Women's Network in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa area tomorrow for their luncheon. And the topic that they wanted was sparks, or they wanted your best brain at work, some brain boosters for how to have your best brain at work. So I thought I'd share some of those with you, my listeners. Do you have your best brain at work would be my question, or not? Would you like your brain to perform better at work or not? And these strategies also will help you have your best brain at home, your best brain at school, although there are some different strategies around learning that help you have your best brain at school. So let's focus on having your best brain at work. And we'll define work tonight as being anything that you're focused on accomplishing. That could be in a job that's away from your home, a job in your home. It could be tasks you're doing at home. Are you getting your best performance when you are trying to accomplish them? And do you know if you have your best brain? What do you do to love your brain? My regular listeners know I'm a certified brain-based trainer and have a passion for the brain and learning. I believe that you should love your brain like you'll be together for life, because you will. Love your brain like it's the only one you have, because it is. To learn about your brain so that you can take the best care of it, so it can take the best care of you. So let's start out tonight with doing a brain warm-up. Now, this is something that you may not want to do when you're driving, or at least some parts of it. This brain warm-up is based on the work of Dr. Carla Hannaford, and her book, Smart Moves, was adapted by Dr. Lynn Neff. And I have used it when I facilitated the Strengthening of Skills Learning program for high school students and college freshmen. as well as sharing those strategies with college staff and high school staff. So the brain warm-up is a way for you to get the best from your brain, because what you're going to do is get your brain into a better state where it can communicate best across the two halves of your brain. You likely know that your brain has two hemispheres or halves. One tends to be more linear, logical, sequential processor, and the other tends to be more global, big picture, creative processor. And so as Tony Bazan says in his book, Making the Most of Your Mind, that when you use strategies for both hemispheres of your brain, your retention, your ability to recall information, increases 500%. And when you're dealing with problem solving, you really do want to utilize the best of both functions, both halves of your brain. So let's start with this brain warm-up. There are four steps to our brain warm-up. So if you can put it in your body, it will help you remember, because as Eric Jensen says, when you know it in your body, you know it. So the first step is to drink water. Most of us walk around with dehydrated brains. We do not drink enough water. So the first step in the brain warm-up is to make sure that your brain's getting some water. And so, you know, drink water slowly for about 30 seconds. Then, to remember that, if you want to grab a hold of your imaginary water bottle, tip it up to your mouth and say, step one, drink water. Step two of our brain warm-up is called brain buttons. And what we want to do to increase the communication across the hemispheres of our brain is to cross the midlines of our body, both the horizontal and vertical midlines of our body. So take one hand and place it on your belly button. Now, again, if you're driving, you may only want to do one hand of this. So keep that hand on the wheel. What you want to do with the other hand is to move it across your chest and find your collarbone, your clavicle, and reach up to where you feel a little dip on the side of your neck. And you want to gently massage in a circular motion like a button. This is called brain buttons. Now, if you press too hard, you may feel lightheaded, because what you're doing is you're stimulating the mechanoreceptors in your carotid artery. So you do want to press gently, though. What you're going to do is you're going to send a signal to the brain to kick up the oxygen flow and increase the oxygen to the brain. And so you want to gently massage for 30 seconds. Now, some people like to switch and put their opposite hand on their navel and then the opposite hand across their chest. So if you're driving, keep one hand on the wheel and put the other across your chest and massage gently your carotid artery for about 30 seconds, or about the amount of time that I've been explaining what it is. So, step two of the brain warm-up, as you're massaging your brain button, is called what? Please repeat it, brain buttons. Step three, this one is going to be challenging to do as you're driving, although if you're alternating your hands, opposite hand to opposite knee, is called the cross crawl. Because if you were on a floor, it would look like you were crawling across your body. What you want to do is take your opposite hand or opposite elbow to your opposite knee. Now, in PE in elementary school, we used to go as fast as we could. Slower is better now. And so take your opposite hand to knee or opposite elbow to knee. And so if you're driving, one hand goes to the wheel, the other goes across to the opposite knee. And again, you want to do this action for about 30 seconds. In this one, you are crossing both midlines of your body from head to toe and across your waist. Again, if you could look at a scan of your brain, it would be firing up like the 4th of July, and that's really what we want to see. All right, so please, as you're doing that action, say, repeat after me, step three of a brain warm-up is a cross crawl. The cross crawl. All right, take a deep breath. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And step four of our brain warm-up is called a hookup. And this one you won't be able to do while you're driving. other than to visualize what you, to do a hookup, you extend both arms in front of you, palms facing outward. Put one arm up and over the other, so now your palms are facing. Interlock your fingers. Bring your arms down towards your stomach, bend your elbows, and then bring your hands up towards your chin. And cross your ankles. What this does, it actually is a very calming position. If you find you're intensely emotional and having difficulty concentrating, this helps you calm your emotion. If you want to do it for about 2 minutes. For the purpose of our brain warm-up, though, 30 seconds in this position helps. Because what we're doing, for example, if I ask you, where's the third finger on your right hand? It's fun to watch groups do this, and I'm going to ask them to do it tomorrow as well in my session with PWN, because we are so out of our normal spatial relationship that our brain is struggling to interpret the signals that are coming in. So, let go, straighten out, take a breath. How are you feeling? Brain is much more geared up to pay attention, problem solve, etc. Now, some people say, I'm sure I'm going to do that in my office. Well, go in the bathroom, is what I tell people. Take a break, go to the bathroom and do a brain warm-up. And this is good throughout the day if you're feeling drowsy, if you are having trouble focusing. It's a great way just to get your brain kicked back into gear. So, there's one great strategy. I can still work. For those of you who are listening live, you may give us a call or hop into the chat room. The number to call, if you have something you want to talk about or a question you want to ask about having your best brain at work, is 347-215-8390. I also will share that for those of you who can are in the area on May 4th, I have a day planned, and well, I'm planning, called Maximize Your Cognitive Capacity at the University of Northern Iowa. It's a public seminar offered through their executive development program, so I invite you to check that out. You can either visit brainbonanza.com for a link at upcoming events, or go to my blog, melaniehoffner.com. There's a link there. Or the University of Northern Iowa's Executive Development. It would be wonderful to have you join us to learn more ways to maximize your cognitive capacity, more ways to have your best brain at work. So what else can you do to take your best brain and have your best brain at work? Well, do you eat breakfast? Do you start your day trying to run your brain on no fuel without the building blocks to focus your attention, to create new neuronal connections, brain cell connections? A breakfast with some protein will help you. This protein breaks down into amino acids, and those amino acids are building blocks for the chemical messengers in our brain. So we want to have some dopamine to pay attention, and that requires protein, amino acids. Our brain also needs choline in order to form new memories, and it cannot create it. Now, lecithin is what you may see on labels, and if you're looking at supplements, you may see lecithin. Please note that if you are considering taking any supplements, please consult your doctor. So lecithin does break down to choline, and choline is a key component for acetylcholine, a substance that your brain really needs. Your brain also needs other minerals, needs magnesium. We don't get that usually in our diet or enough of it. So for more information on great brain foods, you can check out superfoods. I highly recommend, and I go to amenclinics.com. I'm going to confirm there's an S on that, Dr. Daniel Amen, whose new book coming out is Change Brain, Change Body. I'm excited to take a look at that one. So are you giving your brain good nutrition? So not only is breakfast a way to have your best brain at work, what are you having for lunch? And some of you, I can almost hear laughing through the wireless world as you listen to this, that you don't eat lunch. You don't have time for lunch. You're too busy for lunch, or you grab a bag of chips and a pop for lunch, or a hot dog from a vendor for lunch. Truly. Are you getting your 5 to 9 fruits and vegetables a day? Eating the colors of the rainbow a day? Because that diet, the whole foods, the fruits and vegetables, give you antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals that your brain needs. And so do other parts of your body. Again, if you want to be alert in the afternoon, include some protein in your lunch. Doesn't have to be a lot. And eat that protein first. Now, again, for those of you who are regular listeners, you've heard me talk about this research. It's mixed. And so I choose to err on the side of eating a little protein first so that in the digestive process, that in the race to my brain between the glucose and the amino acids, between carbohydrates and protein, I want the protein to get there first. I want more dopamine being produced in my brain to keep me attentive and alert than I do serotonin, which makes me, relax. So you know how sometimes you have that pasta for lunch and then you want a nap? Well, that's why. So have a little protein for lunch and have water throughout the day so that you stay well hydrated. And what kind of snacks do you have during your day at work? What do you bring from home? Again, do you go to the Vendomatic and grab a bag of chips, chocolate cookies that'll give you that rush of glucose in your system followed by a crash and a craving for more carbs? Or do you plan and bring some carrot sticks or broccoli or almonds or granola, things that are healthy and things that you can make yourself? You can make your own granola bars at home. I make a pan of granola bars once a week, and my family isn't as keen on them as I am, so I have one in the morning. I cut them into small squares so I can do the equivalent of a large bar spread over the day. I also have almonds that I have for a snack. I have an apple. So what are you choosing for your snacks throughout the day? And you will do better if you have a steady amount of calorie intake through your day. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the book. We were just talking about it in a class on Monday night on Magnificent Memory. Because in there it talks about our diets. Long ago, we lived in caves, and the diets being whole foods and mostly not cooked foods. They were raw foods. And we didn't have a lot of chemicals and additives that our body doesn't know what to do with. So treat your body to whole foods. Let more from real plants that grow on the ground and less from plants that process it. There's another strategy talked about in this book, which talks, and was also brought up by a participant in my class on Monday, which says if you breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and supper like a pauper, that you want to have more calories in the beginning of the day because you're going to be able to burn them throughout the day. And unfortunately, many of us in the United States have that flipped. We eat a light breakfast, a bigger lunch, and our biggest meal of the day is often at night. So think about when you're going to need the energy for your body and your brain. And I'm going to go to Amazon and search for this book because my brain is not pulling it right now. So now we've talked a little bit about how to warm up your brain with a brain four-step brain warm-up, about getting the right nutrition for your brain, just like having the right fuel, fluids, oil, etc. to run your car. You want that for your brain as well if you want your best brain at work. So what is it that you are doing to take brain breaks throughout your day? Because your brain can continue working on solving problems while your conscious focus shifts. That's why sometimes people can come up with solutions after they've been asleep, had a dream about an answer, or they take a walk, they're playing with their kids, and all of a sudden they'll have this aha light bulb that happens. Like, my gosh, that's it. That's what I need to do. Well, it's because our conscious mind is focused on something else, and it lets our non-conscious mind that operates so much faster and takes in information so much more quickly, as well as the hemisphere that we're not using. You know, one of the things for me in creativity is that if I'm creating a brand new seminar for a client, I do my best creating in the middle of the night, because then the linear, sequential, logical side of my brain is tired. And it is less likely to be argumentative or censor what comes out of my creative hemisphere. Now, that's not true for everyone. You kind of need to learn about your own brain's rhythms and cycles. When are your best times for different tasks? And our brain cycles even throughout the day. And I believe it's about 90-minute cycles where we'll have more blood flow on the one hemisphere, the linear hemisphere, and then it'll switch to the global creative hemisphere. If we're trying to do a task requiring the best from the opposite hemisphere, it's challenging. It's why I can sit down and try and deal with this data analysis right now, and it's just frustrating and draining. I take a break, I come back. Well, you know, if I've had that shift, cyclic shift between my hemisphere dominance, I can sit down and it'll flow. Interesting things about our brains. So what else do you do to take a brain break? Our brain can make meaning or pay attention. Big O-R in the middle of that. If we want to create meaning and pay attention to more input at the same time, brain doesn't do that. It can pay attention or make meaning. So if you're taking in new information, you're reading procedures, reading articles, reading or listening to webinars, listening to clients, that works for, you know, generally a max of 20 minutes without a processing break. Some new research is saying that even with our younger generations who are raised on television, that attention limit is shrinking before the brain needs a break to process. Part of it's been trained that way. And so, again, pay attention to your own cycling, your own how. At what point do you need to stop taking information in, pause, to process that information, organize it, connect it with what you already know, ask questions about it, work in harmony with the way your brain naturally does things, and you will have your best brain performance, and things will seem easier, and it's much more fun. So take brain breaks throughout the day. If you've been working at something for 30 minutes without a break, need to take a break. Even if it's get up, walk to a drinking fountain. Sing a song in your head while you do it and come back. I have a pop-up on my computer at the credit union, and it says lap the floor, and it pops up every hour for me to take a lap around the floor, because sometimes I will get engaged in things and forget to get up, which may seem silly, but many of us do that. We're sitting in a chair most of the day at computer terminals or at a desk working, or even if we're meeting with people, we're at a desk, so we're not up as much, moving as much, which leads to another way that you can have your best brain at work, and that's exercise, movement. Our bodies are designed to move. When you move, think about it. What are you doing? You're increasing your blood flow, which is getting more nutrition to your brain. It's burning calories, breaking down, getting more glucose into the system. If you're going up and down the stairs, you're increasing your blood flow, getting more oxygen to your brain. Lapping by a drinking fountain, making sure you're having your water intake. By the way, your brain is 75 to 80% water, depending on the research you read. It is a water environment. Your brain is not solid. Your brain is, the consistency of soft cheese. No, it's even softer than that, custard. And the reason that it seems hard is when the cells are fixed, after death with formaldehyde or something else, then they seem to be more solid, but they're really not. If you've ever had an animal brain, which is a delicacy in some countries and even in this country, people would eat brains. So, but it's not solid. So the point then is you want to keep the water level up in your brain so that you can have the best electrochemical communication in that system. So take a break, get a drink of water. Take a break, tell a joke. Have a laugh. Laughter changes your chemistry too. Have a smile file, something that you can take 30 seconds and read, something that changes your state, your emotional state, to one that's more positive. That makes a difference as well. How else might you have your best brain at work? How many of you find yourself multitasking at work? Thinking that, oh, I'm getting so much more done. Oh, guess what? We're not. Because we actually, again, our brain is primarily a linear processor. Well, that's the hemisphere, that's Dhamma. And we pay attention or make meaning, not both. And so if we think we're juggling balls, it is a lot of like juggling because we can only really, we're not touching five balls at the same time. And our attention has to focus and shift. So Dr. John Medina in Brain Rules says that rather than multitasking, what we're really doing is task switching. And that there's a four-step process every time we switch tasks, and it takes time. And it introduces more opportunity for error every time we switch tasks. So there's a delay and increased chance for error when we task switch. And the more things we're juggling, the more tasks we're switching between. You know, you're going to go out to a website to look up something, and you get out there and say, what was I going here for? Or someone called you and asked you a question, you were going to find that answer before you could, an email popped up, and then you were dealing with that. And truly, you will increase your effectiveness if you can do one thing at a time. Now, that's not practical for all of us, depending on what our job is. You know, if you're an ER nurse, probably not good to do one thing at a time there. Well, although to a degree you do. You have to pay attention to multiple input. Definitely best to be paying attention to what you're doing there rather than thinking about your date Friday night. Again, realize your brain is a very, very powerful organ, and it can do many things. If you want to have your best brain at work, think about implementing a strategy or two that you hear. What about, do you have any time during your day that you're not connected to some form of electronic device? Cell phone, internet, telephone, where you actually are, quote, offline? That you really, it allows you to focus, to concentrate without the interruptions. And while, again, in some businesses, you're a dispatcher, you need to be online. But in others, put your phone forwarded to in a meeting, and disable that email pop-up that gets your attention every time somebody sends you an email, if possible. And go 15, 20 minutes, focus, concentration, without an interruption, and see. Notice what happens if you do that. And notice the quality of what you do if you do that. I know some of us couldn't imagine. It's very, very challenging to imagine how we could do that, not to be connected, because it becomes such a part of our lives. Almost if we're growing electronic appendages. So, have you heard something that might help you to have a better brain at work, to get closer to taking your best brain to work? Another interesting thing about the brain is the brain is social. If you watch kids, you put kids in a room, they don't know each other, they'll start playing together, younger kids. And brains are connected. Now, that's good for our species that our brains are social. It's got great survival value. And yet, there are times at work when we've got people in little cubicles, people who are in silos working on a piece of something without the connectedness, without the dialogue. And if we allow brains to be more connected, to be more social, to talk about things, to share information, we'd see an increase in innovation, in productivity. Now, again, anything taken to the extreme can be a problem. You know, and one of the reasons that people like being on social networks, like collaborating in the work environment, is it allows them to have synergy where 1 + 1 = 10 because you've got great ideas that are created based off of other people's ideas, and you stair step or elevator launch your way from one idea to another that on your own you would miss. And yet, when you're with other brains and other ideas and other comments and other perspectives, can increase problem solving as well. Problem solving, innovation, and productivity when brains are allowed to connect and encouraged to connect. And think about how your company could gain if several brains realize that there's a better process for something and they spend some time collaborating on making that process better, rather than each of them working individually in a separate silo, separate cubicle, and then having to bring those to the table and then having to analyze and then rebuild. And so you can reduce time. And yes, there's a balance. There are times that, you know, working on your own and processing individually works as well. Just know that brains are social. And given that opportunity, you're going to see better results. Now, do there need to be guidelines? Of course. So people know the expectations and know the boundaries. And whenever I talk about people clearly knowing expectations, one piece of research that comes to mind is children's playgrounds in elementary school. That people were, upset about, why are we fencing in our children? Well, what they discovered was when the fences were there, kids would run and laugh and play, and they would really run hard, and the fence would stop them. When they took away the fences, the children were more tentative. They did not run as hard because there was nothing to protect them from the street. And so there was a benefit to having that boundary or the expectation. So being clear on an expectation, that also helps you have your best brain at work, because you're not always questioning and wondering and feeling a sense of threat. If you're feeling a sense of threat at work and stress at work, brains, there are challenges to function at peak performance when under stress and threat. Because when you're feeling stressed and threat, your brain goes into survival mode. Blood that normally you would want to have in the frontal lobe of your brain, your executive center, your thinking center, is shunted to the deep part of your brain, your limbic system, which deals with survival, fight or flight, self-preservation. And so you don't have the best thinking happening when people feel threat. And stress and threat is perception, because one person may be feeling stressed and threatened, another person may be fine. But your mind cannot tell the difference between a real event and a vividly imagined event, remember? If you're a regular listener, if you're not, and this may be new to you, if you visualize in detail, your imagination is very powerful. And your brain, your mind cannot tell the difference between what you vividly imagine and what happens in the real world. And so, if you get yourself worried, concerned, stressed about what might happen, your body will have the same physiological response, the heart rate, the blood pressure, all those things, as if you were facing a physical threat. So if you want to have your best brain at work, what can you do to reduce stress? And that's another segment. And I have not visited that segment in a while. And maybe that should be one that we look at in one of our upcoming shows, is sparks for choosing your stress, or sparks to be the zebra. For those of you who are listening that would like those strategies sooner than later, check out the archives of Spark, either for sparks to be the zebra or sparks to choose your stress, for some strategies that can help you reduce your stress. We have about 6 minutes remaining. If you have a question about using your best brain at work, please call 347-215-8390 or type a question in the chat room. I apologize, I haven't popped out to the chat room. Again, I thank all of you for checking us out, tuning in, downloading our archives every week. I know I've got some of you who are regular listeners, and others of you, if it's your first time, welcome. We hope you come back. If you're interested in learning more about the resources available that I have, links to books and websites, please visit brainbonanza.com. That's BRAINBONANZA.com. And if you're interested in helping your staff have their best brain at work, contact me. brainbonanza@gmail.com about how to bring me to your organization so that we can help your staff to have their best brains at work with some specific strategies and resources and actions they can take to have their best brain at work. So in our last few minutes, this evening, I did say I was going to go out to Brain Bonanza to find that book. And I think it's Your Miracle Brain by Gene Carper. Sometimes it's kind of fun the way our brains work, because I was seeing the cover of the book. It's white with the yellow and red edging. And there was a letter M. It was just like, oh, I'm drawing a blank. Again, I was trying to multitask. While I'm talking about resources for your best brain at work, also then part of my brain kept searching for the title and author of that particular book. So I will confirm that for you. And that is a great place to start, or to find some good information about the brain, about nutrition. It's an older book. And still, when I originally wrote Eat Your Way to a Healthier Brain, Better Performance, and a Better Life, seminar, that was one of the books that I read, and it gave me some good information, including things like green tea needs to be hot and freshly brewed if you really want the best antioxidant value. I did not know that until I read that book. And many people drink iced green tea, which does not have the same kick for your brain. So we're going to trust my intuition here and see if, and trust my memory. Oh, Jean Carper has a Complete Healthy Cookbook as well. She has Food, Your Miracle Medicine, How Food Can Prevent and Treat Over 100 Symptoms and Problems. That was published in 2000. There's Your Miracle Brain, Maximize Your Brain Power, Boost Your Memory, Lift Your Mood, Improve Your IQ and Creativity, Prevent and Reverse Mental Aging. She wrote that in 2001. And again, I will I highly recommend that, and I will put it on the show notes. It's called Your Miracle Brain by Jean Carper, J-E-A-N-C-A-R-P-E-R. So 2 minutes left. What will you do in the next 7 days to have a better brain at work, to take your best brain to work? We didn't talk a lot about sleep. To have your best brain at work, are you getting good sleep so that your brain is rested, so that your brain can process the activities and events of the prior day? It can, the process of neural fixing, where new memories, are like neural gluing, can happen when you sleep. Yeah, good sleep. What can you do to get good sleep? And before you try chemicals, think about trying some natural ways to get good sleep, some natural ways to relax, natural ways to, quote, turn off your brain if you have trouble getting your brain to stop processing and the mental talk that goes on as you try to go to sleep. There's some great relaxation CDs and hypnosis CDs that can help you without putting chemicals into your body. So to have your best brain at work, get a good night's sleep and put some exercise in your life. So we've got diet, we've got nutrition, we've got movement, we've got being aware of multitasking versus task switching. Find one, just one strategy that you heard tonight so you can take your better brain to work. Thank you so much for listening. Again, for those of you who are in the area and want to see what's coming up, please visit brainbonanza.com, melaniehoffner.com. If you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter. Brain Bonanza is my name on Twitter. And send me an email. Stay connected. Ask me what you want to know more about, because that's why we do Spark. Spark is our way of helping share with you strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge for you to create that better life. So you can use that one brain better, and you can keep your brain performing at its best throughout your life. So in the week ahead, please love your brain. Do one thing a day, at least one thing a day, for your brain. That will help it to do its best for you. I hope to see you soon, and I hope that you come back. Thanks so much for investing your valuable time to be here. Until next time, make great choices, take care of your brain, and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.